Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Gotta change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
That's right. Wake up, everybody, to MPH Radio. This is the second day of September 2023. And we're doing a special program to honor a special person. And that person is Mr. Emmanuel Daniel Joyner. He was born May the 10th, 1945, and he made his transition on August the 22nd. 2018. by good people who do good things. We always want to show our appreciation of their work and their impact that they may have had on the community, on the world, as well as future generations. So Mr. Joyner earned that respect. We're going to do the best to give him that. And we would like to invite anyone who may have worked with, had an impact, or may have been impacted by his work, who know Mr. J, to share their story with the rest of this listening audience in the world. This is MPH tribute to Emmanuel Dan Joyner. We welcome you. Like always on MPH Radio, we'd like to start off with giving you something to think about. And we're going to talk about this concept of freedom, which many people fought over, die over, and still die over. And we believe it's important for us to get a better grip on what that is. Followed by Tuesday, MPH Black Mini Facts. And then we're going to open up a segment called What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods. That was one of the segments that Mr. Joyner created for this particular radio program. And for those who are listening and would like to call in and talk briefly a little bit about what's going on in Nicodem Woods, we will give you the time to do that. Follow that particular segment, we then will begin to go direct into the program as we begin to pay our respect and tribute to Mr. Emmanuel Daniel Joyner. So that's our order for today at this point in time. Let's just give you a little something to think about as we talk about this concept of freedom. I think a good concept of freedom can be defined as freedom is having the ability and means to control those necessities for life. Let me repeat that. Freedom is having the abilities and means to control those necessities for life. Think about that. How does that definition fit into your concept of freedom? While you think about that, we can give you some other things to think about and ask you to get out your pen and a piece of paper, because from the this week MPH Radio will give you some Black Mini Facts from Susan. At this point in time, we will now share with you some of the historical events that have taken place within our history, and Susan will share those events to you by sharing with you some MPH Black Mini Facts. At this point in time, we welcome Susie to MPH Radio. Welcome, Susie.
Good evening. Today I'll be giving you the Black Mini Facts from the PRSP calendar of 2021, and the dates involved will be the August the 28th through September the 2nd. The first event on the 28th, Emmett Till, 14-year-old African, was brutally tortured and murdered in Mississippi on the day in 1955, and also the March on Washington, major civil rights protests in the U.S. in 1963. On the 29th, we had on this day in 2005, Hurricane Katrina revealed to the world the level of exploitation and oppression experienced by the masses of African people in the U.S. On the 30th, we had the Amistad Rebellion led by Joseph Critique in 1839. Also, we had the racist gang in Mansfield, Texas, which prevented African children from attending school in 1956. And finally, on the 30th, we had Thurgood Marshall is the first African appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1967. On the 31st, Fannie Lou Hamer demands the right to register to vote in Indiana, Mississippi in 1962. And also, we had the rebellion of African masses in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1969. On the 1st, which is September, we had Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya leads a successful coup in 1969. And also on that date, Aung San armed struggle between the trio in 1961. And last and final minute fact for this week is Hu Xiaoming, revolutionary leader of the Vietnamese struggle, died in 1969. I've just given you a few minute facts from the PRSP calendar of 2021. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, for your MPH Black Minute Facts. And at this point in time, as we honor and remember Emmanuel D. Joyner and talk about one of his many impacts on this world, and particularly this radio program, we'd like to go into a little discussion under the title, What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods? What's Going On in the Neck of Your Woods? That was a segment that he created as part of this programming aspect of this radio program. And what we'd like to do in remembrance of Mr. J, if he's here, he would like to know what's going on in the neck of your woods. So we can open up our phone line at 818-337-0016. If you want to take a few minutes to share with the listening audience and the world what's going on in the neck of your woods. We'll start off with my co-host today, Brother Alex. We'll start out with you. What's going on in the neck of your woods in memory of Mr. J?
First of all, Mr. Lee, I want to thank you for being there for the family. You know, sometimes we don't say thank you enough to the ones that contribute. And I would never call it a partnership of what you and my brother had. I would always call that a brothership. Because you came together, and maybe some of the ideas were different. Maybe some of the ideas were the same. But along with Susie and all the rest, you guys put together something that's been going on long after Mr. J has left. That's a testimony to itself, of not only your friendship together, but of you guys' brilliance together. Because as we listen to this show, we have an inspiring opening. And it's an opening almost like I've never heard it before on a show that's going to present history in a form that it needs to be presented. And I believe that's what you and my brother sit down and decided to do, is to bring information and knowledge that wasn't being discussed, wasn't being talked about, had not been printed in books that were available to us. And if we look at that today, it has come 100% around back to those same ideas to remove these missing pages of history. Once again, that discussions and shows will not be had like you and my brother had over these many years to bring forth that knowledge of history that we have cast aside, forgotten about. And if we lose that, we begin to lose our identity and our culture. So first of all, I want to also give you and Susie and everyone else that contributed into making this show possible. So, like I said, I don't know if we gave you enough thanks in our time of confusion and hurt and grief and despair. I don't know if we gave you enough there. But to move on to say what's going in on my neck of the woods, I would say that things look dire for my community. We are still being locked up in jail in record numbers. We are still being basically hunted by some law enforcement officers. We're being hunted by racist bigots who continue to seek harm against us for no reason whatsoever. Well, we can't even simply shop or go to school, where we're threatened that someone wanted to take our lives just because of the color of our skin. Not because we've raised questions about our dishonesty or disloyalty to this country or to anyone else. But we tend to forget that we are good, decent, honest citizens. Some of us are led astray. Some of us go into crime and different things like that. But it's because the structure of America itself that has put a burden on us where we cannot move forward because we don't know who we are. So until we can find out truly who we are, what we represent, and where we want to go, and we have our own agenda to move forward with, then we can get somewhere. But as long as there's distrust, long as there's confusion, then we are in trouble. So we have to continue to work together, just like you and my brother and Susie did. And we have to build great things in our names that last. Not just for a few years, but we need to build things that last. Relationships, brotherships, sisterhoodships. We need to build great things among us. And I would like to turn the mic over to any of the other guests and these prominent people that are calling in today and will give honor and tribute, you know, to my brother. I thank you for being there. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who will contribute. And I thank you all. Because today, like every day that I've faced since my brother's been gone, I have tried to live in a way that he would appreciate, a way that he would look up and say, brother, you're doing what I wanted you to do. You're carrying the torch. You're walking the walk, you're talking the talk, and that's what our people need, someone that will stand up for us, because we got enough people tearing us down, but we need someone that will stand up for us, and I give it back to you.
Thank you, Alex. Riona Sagnian, what's going on in Nick of Your Woods, as we honor Mr. Jonah today, and we'll go to Dr. Katie Palmer. You can share with us what's going on in Nick of Your Woods, Dr. Palmer.
Good afternoon, Lee. Good afternoon, Alexander, and all of you all who support MPH. And I'm just in awe and just thankful that I recall when Missing Pages of History was forming, because at that time I was working with Mr. Joyner, and I went to his house on a couple of occasions where you met to get your board together and everything. And I knew then it was going to be something very powerful for the community and for us as we go forward in this world where there seems to be not a level playing field in any area when you think about it. But as I listened to him and I listened to Lee and they were discussing what they wanted this focus to be, and to hear now that after all these years, it's still on the air and, you know, you have television recognition and it's just really has grown. That's what it's all about. And my relationship with Mr. Joyner still lives today. I started out working with him in a community development program in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And I remember the day that I met him and it was just something about him that was so different. And that was even before he and I had a conversation. You know, you really cannot tell who someone is until you have exchanged some words with them. But when I was introduced to Mr. Joyner and he said, how are you, Mrs. Palmer? And we just, that small exchange, I knew then I was in the midst of greatness. I really did. And I was able to find it out even later, because how I met him was we were getting ready to have our agency accredited, and it was going to be an 18-month process. And I'm going to be honest with you, when I got the information that we were going to have to submit to the agency to get the accreditation, it was totally foreign to me. I looked at that and I thought, okay, let me just close this electronic email up, because I've looked at this thing and none of this makes any sense to me. So I turn it over to Mr. Joyner, I actually just told him that as well, because I was the director of quality at this agency at the time. So anyway, I turned it over to Mr. Jordan. He says, Ms. Palmer, this is workable. Actually, this is very workable, and we're going to get it done. And that's almost the exact verbatim words he said to me. And so I had to believe him, because when I looked at it, it meant nothing to me. It was like looking at something Greek or something that was in another language. And that's what he said. And I'm going to tell you, I can't go into all of the details, but 18 months later, we had that accreditation. And it was on the score of 100 points. And we only lost 4 points. We had passed that accreditation with a 96. And the interesting thing about it was two things. When the accrediting body would come to you, you had to submit all the information about your whole organization, from the janitor all the way up to the CEO and whoever else encompassed that company in between. And when they sent it back to you, then the last part of you getting your accreditation was they would send a team on site to you to see if what you had sent electronically was actually going on at the place where you called your facility's workplace. So they were supposed to stay with us 3 days. The second day, they couldn't find anything. So we didn't have to even sit through the third day. And they said, the group, the team that we had said, this has never happened on our watch. We go in, we're going to stay 3 days, and we're going to find a lot of things, and there's going to be a lot of POCs, plans of corrections to even get the accreditation. We don't see anything. It was just that one thing they found. And so when we found out what it was that took the 4 points away, before they even left, they were gone. But before they got back to where they were going, Mr. Joyner already did the POC for it. It was just that he was just that brilliant. He was just, when he knew what he knew it. So then at this point now, I knew it. So that right there, he was a Six Sigma consultant, and there was not any problem that we had at that agency that was unsolvable. Because all we had to do was just talk to him about it, and he'd think about it, and he'd say, okay, this is what we need to do. And when we did it, it fixed it. Because, you know, Six Sigma can be very, very challenging. It's a discipline that's used to help organizations, you know, to be better and to, as a matter of fact, have efficient operations and standard qualities, you know, in their operations. But I remember the one thing he said. He said, Ms. Palmer, we're going to get this accreditation. He said, but nothing ever works unless you continue to monitor it. So he even taught me how to monitor that whole agency. And to this day, the concepts that he taught me about how we were successful back then, I use in every field that I'm in now. You know, whatever I'm trying to do, if it's an organization that has to do with a company, I can almost figure out what's going on wrong with it and actually come up with some solutions. So I'm just indebted to him, because the agency that we were working with was working with mental health. We did support services for people, helping them to find resources in the community that they weren't aware of. And it also included a lot of internal things that the low-income people that we serve could come to our office and get, such as a clothing closet and a food bank. So he organized all of that, and we had just – it was just run so efficiently. And I remember how it was a lot of hard work at first, but once this was put into place, then it was like clockwork. And he always had like a dashboard to see when something was going to get out of whack. It's like driving your car. You know when your gas is getting low, because that hand will show you, or that lever will show you, it's a half a tank or it's a quarter tank, and so you go and do something about it. Well, our systems were that detailed that I didn't have to really run all over the place and figure out what people were doing, because of the monitoring system that was set up. Let me know when, okay, I need to go over here because something's going on here, and I don't want it to get to this point. So extraordinarily, I would do that. And so even with what I do today and everything I put my hands on, I think about Mr. Joyner, and I use that as an approach. That's how I'm able to know that just being with him was, oh, my goodness, this is an extraordinary time in my life that I didn't really realize. I realized it, but not to the extent that I realize it now. And to be able to pay tribute to him, I'm glad that I was able to talk with his brother this morning and that I could come on because I was headed out of my house to go somewhere that would have taken me out of my house for the rest of the evening, but I could not turn down this opportunity to say just what I just said and how what we did helps me even today. And everywhere he went, if it was something that was an issue and that person needed a solution, he would have it. Sometimes he just had to think about it for a little while, but whatever he would tell you, you could count on it. And I always like to say what they taught me. Some people do things, and when they tell you, you can take it to the bank. That was Mr. Joyner. So I am just extraordinarily happy today. I miss him, and I know who he was. You know, I visited him in his home. I know his family, and we would go out to eat, and there was just a lot of things that Mr. Joyner and I would do and the things that we talked about. I don't think there's any subject that he didn't know something about. And so I consider myself blessed to have known him and all the people that were affected by what systems he put in place for us then. And I feel like I'm still blessing people because I use some of the same information that he shared with me when we were working together in my life today. So I'm just glad to be here, and I'm thankful to be able to make this make these small comments about him. And I hope that you all will continue and don't get discouraged, because the way the world is structured today, we're not supposed to be doing what we're doing. And people who are not on the same page with us are going to try everything in the book to make sure that you don't do it. But as they say, when you come to the table, if you don't have a seat at the table, at first I was told you're part of the menu. But I've learned since then that if you don't have a seat at the table, you come and you bring your own chair. And that's what I see you all are doing, because you're just not letting these things hold you back. You're not letting it discourage you. And this world we live in can be very treacherous. And so I say to you, continue doing what you're doing, and I will be a part of it as much as I can. And I'm just happy to be able to come on today and share just this small information with you. And I thank you for allowing me to. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. You brought back a lot of days. I remember when we first met you when I was first shipped down to North Carolina. And you was an interesting young lady yourself. And I just want to let you know that we haven't forgotten about you. And if you ever need anything, we're family now. You know, don't nothing change. We're family.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you again. We'll come back to you later. Okay, let's take our next caller. Caller 6057, we're on the segment, What's Going On in the Nick of Your Woods. It's a segment that Mr. J created for this particular program, and he would like to know what's going on in the Nick of Your Woods. So caller, talk to us, 6057. The mic is yours.
Okay, certainly. Let's see. Our Africans throughout the world are facing political repression, and they're mounting a resistance to that. And the thing about it though, Mr. Joyner left for us, it's an honor and a privilege to stand on his footsteps, and the work that he left behind is still continuing. I think he would be proud of that. And let's see, and the fact that the struggle intensifies and continues. In spite of the oppression we're going through, we're still fighting, and we're still trying to organize. And and I think that would honor Mr. J a great deal. And let's see. And I haven't known him as long as some of y'all have. But but the times I have met him, it has been a privilege and an honor to work with him. And I thank you for the opportunity to express my gratitude towards him tonight.
We thank you, caller 6057. Let's move to caller 7236. 7236. What's going on in Nickel Woods? Yes, caller 7236.
Just a wonderful show, and I did not know Mr. Joyner, but it is informative, and we have so many community heroes, unsung heroes, and it's a wonderful thing to hear about this one and his great contribution to the functioning of these government programs. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. What we're going to do right now on MP's Radio, we're going to take a quick station break with music with a message. And one thing Mr. Joyner is spending a lot of time in is in the area trying to make sure there's a future for our youth. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the many faces of Mr. Joyner. He had many faces and wore many hats. We're going to talk about those faces and the impact they may have had on the world, on communities, as well as maybe on you. So we'll be right back. This is MPH Radio. We are honoring and remembering Emmanuel Daniel Joyner. We'll be right back. We'd like to apologize to everyone on our technical difficulties on our board. Sorry for that little delay, but right now we're going to make our transition to the many faces of Mr. Joyner. And what we're going to do right now, we can go to our sister Gwen Good. We're going to bring her in and welcome her to MPH Radio. As we talk about the many faces of Mr. J, you know, Sister Gwen will maybe talk to you about him as an educator and historian. So right now, we're going to bring in Sister Gwen. We're going to bring her into the equation. And if you can hear me, Sister Gwen, the mic is yours. Welcome to MPH Radio. Sister Gwen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. The mic is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be a part of Missing Pages of History. Mr. Robinson and Mr. Jordan, I want to thank you for filling in those pages, and I want you to thank you for continuing to add new pages. Your services are just so well needed. I'm going to share an important part of what Emmanuel taught his cousins and his siblings, and he started his teaching of history way back when we were little children. Now, I'm going to share this through a story. It's a childhood memory. But when you see the impression this childhood memory made, it gives us a little example of how we can do the same thing. The narrative that I'm giving, you know, may seem a little slow-paced, but I promise you, I will get to the essence of what Dan and who Dan was, and I say still is, because his spirit of what he's done just continues to live on. And pardon me from saying Dan, that's all I like to talk about him as being Emmanuel when I'm in a formal situation. But right now when I feel so close to him, I can't help but to refer to him as I always have, Dan. Now, here's the story. Here's how the story begins. Excitement is in the air. Our family's just busting around our four-room house with Mom, Susie Palmer White, Dad, Jamie White. Well, I'm telling you, Mom and Dad at that time had six children to get ready. Well, we were getting ready and prepared for our big trip. Now, this big trip was to Henderson, North Carolina. Mind you, we just lived in, but when you are a child getting ready to go see your cousins, going to Henderson was a long, long ways away. Well, we were going to visit the Palmer family, but a part of the Palmer family is the Joyner family. Mom and Dad loaded all of us up in that old 58 Ford, and we took off. Now, that excitement of going seemed like it just kept hardly wait to get there. Couldn't get there fast enough. When we finally arrived, the Joyner cousins greeted us, and there was a lot of joy and smiles and hugs and, hi, how are you? And we waited because we knew the adults were going to be together in their place. And that left the opportunity for our young cousins to quickly dash off to the big front porch. And that was always the accepted order of what we do when we met. Well, as usual, it was always Dick and Dan. See, Dick was Dan's brother that's about close to his age. They almost seemed as one because they always helped each other in a way. Now, they were, you couldn't separate them and what they're doing. They sat side by side on one side of the porch, and the rest of us gathered around close to them and all the way to the other end of the porch, because not only were there were six of us, but I can't even count Brother Joyner. I'm going to have to tell you how many of them it was. He said 12, but I may be wrong. But anyway, the whole porch seemed like it was full. And we were all focusing because here Dan began. The fun began. And to me, I always said Dan was a talk show host. And his talk show host was an educational show. It was a show that sort of set the history in place. Now, Dick was sort of like the producer because Dick sat there and smiled and he egg Dan on. Dan would pick a topic, and the discussion began. These intellectual brothers challenged all of us. They always smiled at everyone's answers. They never put anyone down. They always answered our questions, and our questions caused them to have more questions. It went on and on. I remember Dan was always interested in everyone's grades. Education popped in. He wanted to know what each grade was, and he wanted to know what subject we get that grade in. He was always interested in how everyone was progressing in school, and he was always interested in what our interest was and how we could forward that. Let me tell you what Dan was doing with these questions and drills. He was challenging his siblings, challenging my siblings to do our best to excel. Education was a way of getting where we need to go. Education was power. And he let us know it, but not saying so many words, but like just always being excited for our progress. And he wanted us to set our stakes high. And he never wanted us to give up. And if some challenge that we had, if we didn't need or couldn't meet it, then we were encouraged, you know, to find another way. Look for another solution. Get to where you're going or fix your challenge to be even better than the one you had. Dan just didn't put that in us. He did that for himself. Now, another thing about Dan loved family. He loved history, but his history began with family, and then it went all abroad. And it was important to him, his family, our family, and other families. He had a great respect for elders. Not that he said, "Now respect your elders." It was because he did that. He was respectful. His siblings were respectful. We were respectful. And we just sort of taught that to each other without having to fuss it out, but by modeling it. Now, working your plan so you can help yourself was important. But also, work your plan so that you can help somebody else. Look at your family. What can you do? Help them. And then what your family do to help somebody else. Now, that's Dan. We will always remember Emmanuel, my Dan. We'll always remember the lessons he taught through hosting the Family Porch Talk Show. The Family Porch Talk Show. Yep. Who knew what else he was going to do? Now, let us follow Dan's examples. Let us host our own shows as we ask questions. Let us listen to other folks' answers, their opinions, and let's work this deal. Blessings. We'll always remember Dan. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Sister Good. And like always, you too is a part of this family, and we will continue to do the kind of work that Brother Jay inspired us to do, because he was a good example in terms of this whole question of the role and importance of education and this question of understanding history. So, again, we'd like to thank you for taking this time to share the aspect of who Brother Jay was. And let's continue to work together. We'll be getting back in touch with you. We thank you.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
As we continue to talk about the many faces of Mr. J, we call him Mr. J, we'll go back to our sister earlier we were speaking, Sister Dr. Katie Palmer. Dr. Palmer, we'll come back to you, and we would like to ask if you could articulate a little bit more about Dan as the community builder and supporter. He did a lot of things in the community and helped people. You was one of the examples. Can you speak a little bit more from your perspective? Well, how you view Mr. J as a community builder, Dr. Palmer?
Yes, I can. Yes, part of what the agency that I work with was a CDC, Community Development Corporation. So we had tentacles in the community in many different areas. And I do remember one of our programs was an educational program to get people to go back to school or to pick up where they left off. And he helped us with the organization of that particular tentacle. And it was once it was set up, it was very, very successful in getting people, getting them past their, you know, timidness to go back to school in the first place, or families that we worked with who did not get a high school diploma, to help them sort of to, you know, bridge that gap and make themselves more marketable, you know, as time went on. And so I remembered in the formulation of this particular education program, the first thing he said was, a program is as good as its director. And so we were able to draw many people into that area to help us with that particular program. And the director of the program was one of the professors, well, she had taught, yeah, at St. Augustine's College. So I always remember that he says, anything that you're going to do that you're going to offer to other people, make sure you have the adequate, the expert, the knowledgeable people that will actually be facilitating it, so that whatever filters down, then everybody will be a recipient of all that greatness and all that goodness. So, yes, for our educational segment, he helped us to put that together. And also there was one with the housing where you could learn more about housing and just the basic elements before you even get to a point of thinking that you were going to purchase a house, such as budgeting. And so it was like different levels that he helped us set up with that program. And so everything we did was community. And at the time that he spent with us at our CDC, we just went back through all of the things that we had that were connectors for us into the community so that people could be enlightened and, you know, they could actually have a broader concept of what was going on. Then, of course, they would actually be much better people at the end of the day. It had to always be the best. And so he, as someone said, he was very, very respectful of older people, the elderly. And so when people came into any of those programs that we had, they were given the same respect that the younger people were given. So there was no differences. And I like that part of it because that's kind of how I roll. Don't see people as, you know, as you categorize them by their age, you know, or where they came from. And so that was a part of it that was very, very significant in everything that we did, was that everybody was welcome at the table or to come through and come and find out what you could do to, you know, just to be a better person yourself. And he also was us, we were in the community, to me that, and the best concept I can think of right now is the fish. Give a person a fish, then they'll know what you just gave them. But if you teach them the fish, you know, the word, give them all of the information, all of whatever it needs to equip them to do to catch a fish, then, you know, they'll eat for a lifetime. And I've actually carried that concept with me on into, you know, all of the years that I spent with him and with everything that I do. Because if you do not, if you give a person a fish, yes, you'll help them for that moment. But when you walk away, what will they have? So I've carried that with me because that's what he said. And he had a very, very extraordinary way of breaking things down. I mean, it could sound very complicated at the top of what he would say, but he had, oh my goodness, he was just so blessed and so talented and gifted to break it down to where even a child could understand it if he needed to go that far. And with some people's thinking, with them not having had the experiences that others have had, it had to be broken down to a child's level, and he was able to do that. So I just feel like the community in the area where we worked is so much better off because he was there and because I have an opportunity to have worked with him. But it, the ideas that he had, he was able to, you know, bring in all people. And so the community was blessed. And so if those people would pass on what they have, you know, it should still be moving on because I'm still remembering it. So him as a community builder and supporter, that is what he was, because that's what we had, was a community development corporation that was in the community to find whatever. There was so many things that our low-income people weren't privy to. We made sure that they would get exposed to it. So, yes, I really appreciate having been able to work with Mr. Joyner as a community builder and supporter. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Palmer. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to go to caller that have been waiting patiently. We're going to go to this caller. Caller, your last four numbers are 4809, 4809. What tribute would you like to make to Mr. J? 4809, welcome to MPH Radio. Caller, your last four numbers, 4809. The mic is yours. Okay. We gave caller 4809 an opportunity.
Good evening, Mr. Robinson. Good evening.
Yes, we can.
Good evening, Mr. Robinson.
Introduce yourself and make your comments.
Hi, Mr. Robinson. This is Emmanuel's brother, Carver.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Carver?
Great. I'm very privileged to be on the line with you all today. Most of all, it's a privilege just to be around, as we always say. But I wanted just to step in for a few moments because I'm in and out kind of busy with a lot of other things. But I just want to say today that just about Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you know, was his brother that's just a little older than I. Emmanuel was a smart, intelligent brother who left a blueprint for all of us about life and love. And Emmanuel, I miss you. I just want to say, Emmanuel, I miss you. I miss you so much. At this time of year, most of the time we're watching a basketball, or we've been watching football or some type of sports. And we would be there and we would talk. And I was so amazed with Emmanuel. I knew all my life, of course, how intelligent, how smart he was. But the thing sometimes would get me, we would start talking about players. And he would say, we would talk about their position and what they were capable of doing on the court or on the field. And we would get into each player. And he was so in-depth with each player that he would always let me know. Said, look, the headlines on this particular gentleman, this is going to be on the front page. It's always negative stuff. But you never see the positive stuff that these players do back in their communities. He said, this is where we need to focus on what they're actually doing in the community, because the media searches for negative things against our brothers all the time. And our brothers are putting out there and they're putting back in the community. Those things are some of the things that he did. How these wonderful brothers that are playing sports, how they contribute back to the community. I want to thank Emmanuel for all the things that, you know, during my lifetime that while we talked and we were always together, and he would just show me so many areas of life. I want to say that I want to thank him for showing me just how to be a better leader. Well, here in the city of Durham, I've been a leader of several organizations, and the organizations I'm leaders of are mostly for our seniors. And we learned that as kids to be like so. And we learned that as kids to be loving to our seniors. Many times myself, Armstead, and as we call Dick, and Emmanuel, Dad would always set us out to see who needed what in the neighborhood. And we would always go out. We would help them, whatever it might be, something small, maybe just a toaster that needs fixing, an iron that needs fixing. Maybe they just need some hedges trim, yard mowed. My dad says, never charge a senior for anything that you do, son, because these seniors have all the wisdom. If you want to get something, you can always learn from a senior because they have the wisdom and knowledge that you're beginning to get. You cannot walk before you crawl. So we're crawling now, so we got to learn how to walk. The best way to learn how to walk is to listen to those seniors. I would just like to say a short prayer this time. Almighty Father, praise and glorify you, your name, your most holy name. Father God, we thank you for giving my brother to my family and giving us all another day. We thank you for the blessings of having a kind and loving brother, Emmanuel. God, you were so generous there, and you provided us with his love and his friendship, his wisdom. Father God, I want to offer this prayer to you. Humbly, I'm asking to you if you would continue to watch over all of us, all our loved ones, and protect them from harm. Father God, we ask that at this time that you continue to keep their happiness in your loving embrace. Father God, I pray for their good health so they may continue to use their God-given talents, each of my brothers and sisters, as well as friends and family, to spread your word, to do the good deeds, and honor the Savior. But we were all brought together through you. As our love for one another remains strong with you at the center of our hearts. Father God, we thank you for Emmanuel, for each and every soul that's online with us today. In the name of our Savior Jesus, amen. Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Brother Carver, for your contribution to today's program and also for allowing me the opportunity to get to meet you and work with you. And again, you two are part of this in-peace family, and we will continue to work together in the near future. We thank you for your contribution. And say hello to your wife for us, okay?
Certainly will. Thank you.
And thank you. As we continue to discuss, I give Emmanuel his flowers. And the best way we can do that, not only by honoring and remembering him, but carrying out the work and the legacy that he left. What we're going to do right now, we have another family member, I believe, is on the line. I believe we have Sister Reverend Mary Hunt. We're going to bring her in, and she can make her give her tribute as relates to her brother, Emmanuel. Sister Mary, I believe you are on line.
Yes.
9348. Welcome to Peace Radio, Sister Mary. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Lee. I really want to thank you, as my brothers have already done, but I want to thank you also for me, for having this show for my brother, celebrating his life, celebrating his legacy. Dan was an extra, extraordinary man. He was but man that was so intelligent. And when I say ordinary, I mean he was extra ordinary. He could break down, as my brother said, he could just break down everything to you that even a child would be able to understand. He was very intelligent. And I thought, oh, my God, wouldn't that be something if they could actually take the brain out of Dan and just give it to me, his brain. He was just a very smart man. And I want to thank you for having this show on him. And Cole, Host Alec, I want to thank you. You did a really good job also, and my brother CP, and that to bless you with a poem. Your spirit, I know that no matter what, you will always be with me. When life separates us, I'll know it is only your soul saying goodbye to your body. But your spirit will be with me always. When I see a bird chirping on a nearby branch, I will know that it is you singing to me, Dan. When a butterfly brushes gently by me, so carefreely, I will know that it's you, Dan. I will know it is you assuring me that you are free. Brother, you are free from pain. When the gentle fragrance of a flower catches my attention, I will know it is you remembering me. To appreciate the simple things in life, when the sun shines through my window awakens me. I will know, Dan, that it is you. I will feel the warmth of your love when I hear the rain pitter-patter against my window sill. I will hear your words of wisdom. And I will remember what you taught me so well, that without rain, trees cannot grow. Without rain, flowers cannot bloom. With life's challenges, I cannot grow strong. When I look out to the sea, I will think of your endless love for your family. When I think of mountains, their majesty and magnificence, I will think of your courage for your country. No matter where I am, your spirit will always be beside me. For I know that no matter what, you will always be with me. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to my cousin, Quinn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Mary, for your contribution.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Mary, for your contribution as well. And, of course, we got a lot of work to do. And once family, always family, and we'll be getting back with you. We thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What we're going to do right now, we have a few more people on the board that would like to make their or pay their respect to Brother Emmanuel Daniel Joyner. We're going to go to them before we take our station break, and then we're going to close out the program with MPH family members of Mr. J. And then we have some special announcements. We want you to stick around because we need to talk to you as it relates to the future of MPH radio and the ongoing work. So right now, we're going to bring in Carla. Your last four numbers are Brother Moses, 4298. 4298, part of the MPH family. Brother Moses, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Lee. Certainly, we want to give honor to the departed brother, Mr. Joyner, and his spirit lives on. His family standing strong. That was a powerful prayer. And certainly, we appreciate people of the faith because we know the future belongs to the people of the faith. And I think, you know, Brother Joyner was first and foremost an educator. I believe he was a teacher. And that is in that spirit. Like, I just want to say that, you know, there should be clarity in terms of our mission as people who recognize that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And it's in that spirit, this evil system of apartheid and discrimination and oppression as represented by the Israeli U.S. project called Israel. And you know, the Jewish people are not a nation. I mean, they can build a ghetto and build a ghetto and build a ghetto, but that doesn't make them a nation. And there is no white nation, there is no black nation, and so we have to understand that that this confusion is killing people. People are dying because of misunderstandings and people who feel superior, basically, who feel superior and feel they have rights that no other people have. And I don't know, it's in that spirit I try to remember the legacy and the revolutionary spirit of Mr. Joyner. And I know he would want people to be clear on Zionism. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Moses, for your contribution. And speaking of confusion, we agree with you. One of the things you notice about the life of Mr. Joyner that he set as an example was that he definitely believed in clarity. He definitely believed in being an organization. He definitely was against any form of confusion. So what we're going to do on that note, we're going to play this song called Ball of Confusion. And when we come back, we, the MPH family, are going to discuss a little more about the life and legacy of Mr. Joyner. And we have some special announcements that we'd like to make to all of you when we return. This is MPH Radio.
Segregation, determination, demonstration, energy. depression out of hand.
Suicide, too many bills, hippies moving to the hills. People all over the world are shouting in the war.
And the band played on.
We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio as we continue to honor and remember Emmanuel D. Joyner. We will go to one of our MPH family members. We have had the privilege and honor to work with Mr. J. We now will bring in Sister Susan at MPH Radio, and she will pay her respects to Emmanuel. Susie?
Good evening. This is for Mr. Emmanuel Daniel Joyner. Time will not dim the face I love to see, the voice I heard, the many things you did for me in MPH, Missing Pages of History, in your own special way as the years come and go. But in my heart, I'll keep you because I appreciate it and love you. Miss you, Mr. Joyner. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. They're very beautiful. And what I would like to say is not too much. As a member of MPH Radio and the family of Missing Pages of History Incorporated, which is a community development nonprofit organization, 501(c), is that we are fortunate to have had a chance to meet Mr. J and to work with him. His influence can be seen throughout this organization, the kind of work we do, and the things that we are trying to do. One of the things we wanted to share with the listening audience in terms of to carry out some of his wishes and desires before he made his transition was to do a couple of things. Number one, we now have membership open. We are accepting membership for people who help join the organization and help us build this institution. We have openings for all kind of individuals. We have all kind of skills. All skills can be used. So we would like for you to think about it, to join us, to help us build this institution. Number two, Mr. J had a bucket list, a couple of things he definitely wanted to do and bring the community with him and with us, that he didn't get a chance to do before he made his transition. And two of the things he had on the list was to take a delegation to Cuba and take one to Africa under the banner and with MPH, Missing Pages of History. So we are asking all of his friends, supporters, and family members if they would seriously consider this summer taking a trip with MPH and other progressive organizations to Cuba during the month of July. And later on, we will plan to organize a trip to our motherland, to our home, Africa. So if you can put that on your list, we'd like to come to your communities to talk about those possibilities, and we'd like to at least start bringing new membership to help build this organization and do the kind of work that needs to be done. We'd like to remind everybody that our live regional TV program shows can be seen now on Channel 36 at Verizon, and Channel 95 on Comcast Cablevision if you live in the Richmond, Virginia Metro, northern section of the state of Virginia. You can check those programs out on the weekends, on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays at 1 a.m. So those are just some of our announcements. We need your help. We need your support. If you want to make a general donation, please, you can do that by Zelling us at Missing Pages of History 1 at yahoo.com through Zelle, or you can send your contribution to Missing Pages of History, Inc., P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261. We will greatly appreciate it, but the best that you want is your mind, your energy, your labor to help build this institution for our communities. Mr. J, what can you say about Mr. J? He was very articulate. He was very thoughtful. He also had a sense of humor. I don't know if a lot of people realize he had a sense of humor. And like the sister said earlier, he's one of those that once you first meet him, you know he's the kind of individual that you want to be around and be a part of. And the best I can just say is to continue to do what I do, the agreement that we have made together, and live the legacy through my work. So, Mr. J, rest in peace. Job well done. And what we want to do today is to give you a summary of who Mr. J was and his impact on the community. We can close this program out by bringing in my co-host and his brother, Alex. He will do a presentation on the life and the works of Mr. J, and then we'll close out with some selections of music that best reflect Mr. Joyner. We thank you for allowing us to come in your homes this evening and continue to support this program. You can hear us every other Saturday. We are a bi-weekly program, radio program. So on that note, Brother Alex, we're going to bring the mic to you. You can close out the program on the life and thoughts of your brother, Mr. J, and then we'll close out with some music. Brother Alex, the mic is yours.
Well, again, Mr. Lee, I've told you over and over again, when it comes to putting together a program to honor someone, to make us remember we should be, not who we are, but who we should be in life. Because a lot of us think of who we are, and that's not really us. But who we should be is a good father, a good son, a good daughter, a good mother, good grandmother, good grandfather. We should be a good individual because our lives come forth as a mentorship for others. If you can see the good, the humanity, the compassion in someone, then it's easy to say good things about them. You know, I almost feel like just saying goodbye right now and not really even saying another word, because good words have been spoken about my brother. So if a preacher was up there in the sermon preaching right now, it'd be time to close the book. Because what else could you say? You all have done a wonderful job. And I only hope that I can bring it to a close. And so I ask you, and I want you to ponder this. Real wealth starts in the heart. Today, I want to relate a special message to all that can hear and listen with an open mind. The loss of a loved one affects us differently. We all grieve in different ways. There are no words, to say or give to give that makes this heartache of suffering go away. We all have lost someone as friends and family members die every day. We know not the day or hour of our own demise, but we must lead a life worth living. People treasured in life, and many are honored in death by the wars and achievements they accomplish. Take a moment and think, what will your legacy be? What will be said about you after you are no longer here? Will the life you lead speak for the character you believe you had? Did you help when one called for a favor? Did you mentor someone to make their life better? Did you stand for justice and for the rights of your fellow man? Did you visit or comfort the sick or elderly? Did you give assistance to the poor and the homeless? Did you help serve or provide meals for the hungry? Did you offer advice to friends who were lost in understanding the meaning of religion and freedom as they applied to the many misfortunes that one encounters in life? Did you become your brother's keeper? All through life, we are taught everything but how to die. Death is final. It is the ending of our beginning. It is the point of life where all others judge you. Time when families should come together and reflect the good times and the bad times. For every life has had its share of both. I never thought I could remember so clearly the things that I thought I forget from my brother, Emmanuel D. Joyner. I love the time I lived with him in Baltimore, Maryland. We talked about so many things over the years. I got an opportunity to learn from a master thinker, a great dresser, a financial genius, a great communicator, a giver of knowledge, and a disciplined man of stature with much pride and confidence. He once told me that to be an achiever of anything, you must first believe that whatever you seek, you must learn to master it. Brother Emmanuel, you did it better than anyone ever known. A life well lived and a man well loved and admired. Real wealth starts in the heart. August 22nd, 2023. Started like any other day. Then reality sunk in and I felt my heart sink heavy in my chest. An emotional reality had set in. For 5 years, I have not received a call to ask me how I was doing and what I was doing for my brother, Emmanuel. You see, even though I wasn't an adult, my brother was still checking up on me. That is what families do. Stay in contact with each other. You don't have to agree or see eye to eye on everything, but you must always talk, visit, and gather in celebration with one another. Oh, how Emmanuel loved to have a good party with family and friends. He spared no expense. It was his greatest pleasure. My brother always joked with me about how the Europeans had separated the colored races and made them turn against each other as they took their land and resources. How families were separated from birth or kidnapped and put on different ships as they were sold in the New World. Destroy the family. Take the husband from the wife. Take the children and sell them separate. Rape the wives and daughters that so they are called half-breeds and are looked down upon by the family. Destroy the family structure so that no one knows anybody. Destroy the language. Destroy the culture and destroy their religion. Destroy their hope and faith so they depend on their white masters for everything. Once the family is broken, they will not depend on each other, but turn on each other and trust no one else's word but their white masters. We can see that for hundreds of years, this false indoctrination of destroying the black family by any means has suppressed the black family structure in America. After the Civil War, millions of free people sought out their kin. They tried in vain to look for others whom they thought were related because they were on the same plantation. Many were successful. Most were not. Emmanuel loved a good reunion of family and friends. It was a time to reflect and talk of things that had passed away, to make plans for the future, and to share the wealth of life's knowledge with family. Being in his presence was happiness for all. I remember that even at a party, once he started talking about the heart full of love. Give me just a second. I'm getting emotional here. My goodness. Just thinking about that conversation. Something else. Okay, about a heart full of love and a heart full of wealth and how posed each other. The heart full of love shares without a care. It is a strong heart that beats in few people. We often judge each other as we live this life. There are people we don't care to bother with. There are people we don't care to associate with. There are people we don't care to know. There are people we don't have time for. There are people we just ignore altogether. But still, we want to say we are good people. The heart full of wealth sees only the color of gold, silver, or green. It is the heart of crooks and con men. It is the hearts of ones who deceive you. It is the heart that hides the truth. It is the heart that only sees profit in any circumstance. It is the heart of some rulers, presidents, lawyers, doctors, judges, and yes, even the common man. It is the heart that condones and accepts evil and corruption. I asked Emmanuel how we must negotiate these hearts in life that we are born with. He said that men and women must learn to have compassion and understanding for each other. We are all equal, made in a way to support each other, as this is the plan of nature, that the negative energy we deploy upon each other destroys our progress and lives. We are the keepers of this planet, and how we treat each other makes a difference on the longevity of our lives and the planet. The warming of the planet, greedy hearts. The wars that are fought come from greedy hearts. The death of millions by gun violence and illegal drugs come from greedy hearts. All the ills of life come from greedy hearts. The hearts full of true love is few. They enjoy long lives of marriage and faith. They walk in freedom with a spirit of goodness about them. They share and smile. They give until they have nothing, and then they are replenished again. They are seen as the hero and pillars of the community. The good hearts are sometimes hard to find. They are busy helping someone else. That is the way I remember Emmanuel, always trying to help someone else. He wanted everyone to make it like him. He wanted all of us to be successful from the inside, to have the confidence that was torn away from our ancestors, ripped out of their hearts as they stood there in pain and suffering, watching the greatest hearts of love being broken by slavery and bondage. Emmanuel never questioned my passion for civil and social justice issues. He once told me my heart was a good heart, but my battle was the oldest one on earth. You see, keeping the family together would be my greatest challenge. There are more hearts that seek wealth than they seek love, and many do not seek love at all. I have spoken for many people in my life and about all the good deeds and good times we had together. But few had a good heart. My brother's life spoke for him better than I ever could. He was something special. His name said it all. Emmanuel. God is with us. He sought to teach and to protect us all. A good heart, a good life lived, and many a good deed done. Emmanuel's true wealth was his loving heart, giving all he could and then more. He will always be with us, the ancestors, and God. And I'd like to close by again by saying thank you all. You have truly blessed the family today and blessed my brother's memory. And for all those that couldn't call in and couldn't be here today, even his daughter Tanya has sent her blessings and wasn't able to call in today. But we have to look at what my brother truly meant. And that's what he told me. Family. If you stick together, doesn't matter. Think about it. When we were on those plantations, our ancestors, torn from families, torn from villages, the only family they had was each other. I am ashamed today when I look at the gangs in the street, the young thugs, the business leaders, politicians, who cannot come together and negotiate, network, organize, and move forward. When our people, when they first came here, did better than we. And we're not killing each other over nothing. Not stealing, not raping. But they were surviving, trying to make a better day for the generations to come. If we look back at them right now, we all have to have some shameful faces. Because what they were dreaming and hoping and praying for us, for a better light of day than what they were going through. And for us to take that and be separate and be disrespectful and be spiteful, backstabbing, cutthroat of our own race is truly a shame from a great people that came across the ocean. Not by free will, but always they wanted to go back home. And if they couldn't go home, then they started families here. And they survived for hundreds of generations so that we could have something. And we should be shameful of how we react to that today. And so I thank you again, Mr. Lee, and I thank you, Susie. And I thank everyone. You've just made me overjoyed today. And this has truly been a blessing. And I give the mic back to you, Lee.
And in closing, I would like to make two reflections or discussions that I have had with Mr. Joyner as a part of history that our people need to know, and particularly you, when we talk about setting examples and how we may have impacted the world. One of the disciplines that Mr. Joyner had was he acquired a license that people recognize him as a Six Sigma. Is one of the highest credentials you can get in the business world on knowing how to analyze and resolve problems. One of the problems Mr. Joyner was able to participate in that a lot of times African people don't realize our influence in the world of science and technology was that he also worked with NASA in Houston. And he shared with me when there was explosions with these spaceships going up, rockets and things, he was one of those that were called to investigate and find out the cause of these explosions. He also was an entrepreneur in the area of entertainment. He was a free thinker in terms of being creative in the entertainment industry. He said that he was one of the first or the first to pack a sports stadium. Boy Memorial Stadium, back in the early 60s, late 50s, where he did a concert where he brought in Marvin Gaye in pajamas on a helicopter where he landed right in the middle of the field of the stadium. But the act, the way he promoted it, that was the first time something like that was done, the nature of something like that was done, where you can see today others continue to follow his creativity. He also made contributions in the world or in the field of mailing, distributing mail. He also had a key position in the post office system in Baltimore, and he brought key changes to impact today how this overall mail system functions and works. So in terms of when we look at this question of creativity, the question of engineering, this question of science, he was an example that African people and youth too have played, continue to play a role in these fields because we are major thinkers. So on that note, we remember Emmanuel Daniel Joyner, who came into this world on May the 10th, 1945, and we made a transition on August 22nd, 2018. But his legacy will continue to live, because his legacy lives within the minds, the thoughts, and the actions of the people who have been impacted by his works. So on that note, we leave you with a musical tribute to Mr. J, as we call him. Rest in peace. Job well done. This has been Missing Pages of History Radio.
Together so that we could love each other, brother, we are. gonna save the nation with no support for education. Cause right now it don't make sense. Right now it don't make sense. Let's talk about our part. My heart hurts your heart. Let's talk about, let's talk about living. Had enough of dying, that's what we all about. Let's do more giving, do more forgiving. Yeah, our souls were brought together so that we could love each other. Sister, we are here. We are here forever. We are here forever. That's why we are here. Why we are here. We are here.
Bye. When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Said tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than another little kid. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, you all appreciate it. There ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry,
cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you, sweetie?
And dear mama,
baby, there's no one above you, sweetie.
You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
dear mama.
There's no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
and dear mama.
You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all. suffering with each sin. Thank you.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain by brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. You said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and you was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said, what I am searching for are the answers. Just to all we got in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. Some strange reason it had to be. It was all a dream about Tennessee.
They